Hey, welcome to a new Fit Podcast episode. I'm your host, Jeroen, and today I'm talking to Dan Jong from South Korea. He's one of the most inspiring people I've met the last few years. I met him when I was training in Bali, and I learned a lot from him as a coach, but also as an athlete. He is a heavyweight calisthenics, at least that's how he calls himself, and he's really flexible. So he combines strength, flexibility, teaching, coaching, and he has an amazing YouTube channel and Instagram. So a guy you really want to follow if you want to increase your strength and flexibility. Today we're going to talk about how to get flexible, how to learn skills, how to cope with injuries, so all kind of interesting topics related to calisthenics and mobility. So, but first, let's introduce Dan Jong. Welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Hi, everyone. Whoever is listening to it.
So before we start out, a little introduction. You're a heavyweight calisthenics. That's how you call yourself. Your training yes. and mobility. So you're 85 kilos. You do handstand push-ups, side splits, like crazy tricks, planche. So you have a variety of different skills. How would you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I usually call myself this heavyweight calisthenics guy, but calisthenics is not just the one thing I do. I'm really into mobility as well. So I'll make sure I work on my splits. I work on my shoulder mobility, and I just try to be a good overall, well-rounded athlete as best as I can.
Yeah. And actually, that's the thing that really inspired me. You combined like strength, pull-up, push-ups, but also those splits you talked about. So you're quite flexible. Before we go into depth about training, misconceptions, and lessons you learned along the way, I want to go through some statements. I have three statements for you. You can only answer yes or no. And so listeners know you're flexible. You can see it on your Instagram, side splits. So also in your hips. And I've guessed you've been working on that for years and years. So from your experience, is breathing the most essential thing for more flexibility? Yes or no?
I'm going to say yes. And should I explain why, or just is this just yes or no?
For now, it's a yes. And later, there's room for nuance.
Okay.
The next statement, you can learn a proper handstand in 3 months. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, that's
if you have a good coach.
Okay, all right. I actually had some handstands lesson from you in Bali, so yeah, you really helped me. And you should always train with perfect form. For example, a handstand push-up, always straight line. Yes or no?
No.
Okay, so let's start out with the last one. Can you explain why you shouldn't always train with perfect form?
So there are multiple reasons, but I mean, your eventual goal is to train with the most perfect form ever. But like when you're starting out, and if you're just trying to make everything perfect, you actually cannot get enough volume. So I'm going to explain in a little bit detail. So let's say you're working on handstand push-up. When you're just starting out, you probably can only do like, let's say you can do like 3 ugly handstand push-up and 1 pretty perfect handstand push-up. I'll rather do a 3 ugly handstand push-ups and get the volume up so I can get enough training and stimulus on my muscles. But if you just do 1 handstand push-up, that is just not enough volume to get enough like hypertrophy or increased strength. So you don't have to go for the most ugly form ever. There has to be some kind of standard. But as long as you're meeting the minimum standards, I think it's okay to train with less than perfect form.
Yeah, as long as you don't injure yourself.
Yeah. So this is also assuming that you're not like risking your body by getting into like some dangerous technique. Mm-hmm. Like maybe like for deadlift, perhaps like you're arching your spine or something like that. No, I mean like flexing your spine. Sorry. So I mean like this can be controversial, right? So As long as you're not getting into like, as long as you're not risking your body too much, I think it's okay to train with, yeah, slightly ugly foam.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good lesson. I think a lot of people, they just want to have perfect form. So there's some room for training. The next thing, a lot of people lately want to improve their handstand. I think it's a big thing. And I think they see a handstand and think, some people, they think like, that takes me years. I cannot do it. Some people think like, the next day I have a handstand. So you said like you can learn a handstand, a proper handstand in 3 months. Yeah. Could you explain why? How is that possible?
So it depends on like what's your standards for the proper handstand. But for me, it's has to be more than 10 seconds in order to count. Because less than 10 seconds, it can be a fluke or luck. But it's definitely possible under 3 months, providing that you have a good coach, or maybe you're inspired or motivated to train in regular basis, and you also your body also has to be like quite ready for the handstand. Like if you have really weak wrist or weak shoulders for handstand, that's gonna take some time to develop that enough proper strength, but if your body is already ready and you just need to learn the technique of the handstand, you can actually learn it maybe like even less than a week if you're really prepared. Like I've seen one of my students actually learn her handstand in just one day. Like she was doing 10-second handstand. Actually not 10, slightly less than 10 seconds. But she took just one of my classes and then boom, she got it. It was pretty amazing.
So it really depends if actually I always say with like lifestyle or training, if you have all lights on green, if the like everything is good, for example, your wrist, but also your shoulder mobility, you're able to strengthen your core. You know where your body is, the proprioception, that's also an important thing. So if all those things are perfect, you can learn it in a week. But maybe if you want to work on your, for example, shoulder mobility, like I do, because I have stiff shoulders, it takes months and months and maybe a year to do it on yourself, maybe with a coach, a couple of months. But it really depends on the person. That's what I also see in like when I train with people. The next statement was, you're quite flexible, actually really flexible. So you have been working on training it, I think, for years. So a lot of coaches, they say breathing is really important. It's reduces the inhibition of the brain with your muscles. Mm-hmm. Is that actually true? Is breathing really important? You said yes, but why is that?
So while I'm stretching, I don't focus on my breathing that much. But when I'm getting into a deeper position, I do focus on my breathing. So I do a big inhale. And as I exhale, I try to stretch further. So like, let's say if I'm doing the middle splits, maybe my starting angle is 150 degrees in between my legs. And I hold there for like 10 seconds and then I do a deep inhale. And I just, as I exhale, I try to lower down as deep as I can. And I find that it's really helpful for me to go deeper. But you can also experiment on yourself. Like if you try to do the reverse, if you try to inhale while stretching in a deeper position, you'll find it is much more difficult. So but really when I'm actually in the stretch, I don't focus on my breathing that much. I just do a natural breathing.
Yeah. And if you're working, for example, on those middle splits, do you really push through the, for example, if you want to get more flexible, or do you try to relax and get deeper in the position?
I act like I'm relaxing, but in deep inside of me, I'm actually not relaxed. I'm always struggling with middle splits. But after years of practice, I learned how to like put on a poker face. So I can sort of smile when I'm in a split, but it's always quite painful. But when I mean painful, like I mean discomfort, actually. I should have said this discomfort, because people often get confused what is pain, like what's pain and what's discomfort. But you should never really feel a pain in in doing a flexibility training, but you should try to get used to being uncomfortable. But that's something that's pretty hard to distinguish, and it has to come through a lot of practice, and you have to be very experienced in stretching as well.
Later on, we dig deeper in the stretching part. So
sure, yeah.
So we made the statements. Now, listeners know that you got like a lot of skills. So look at the Instagram and you see you have to train for years and years for that. How much years did you actually train, and what drives you?
So with just calisthenics, maybe it's been slightly over 10 years, I think. But one of my first resistance workouts was actually just weight training back in like 16 years ago, maybe. So I started with weight training. I did that for a couple of years, and then I actually got pretty tired of it pretty quick because it was really repetitive. So like, let's say if I were to do a bench press, I know if you like bench press, but it's always the same, you know, like same movement, just more weights, right?
Yeah.
But when I discovered calisthenics, I really like how like variety of exercise that I can do. So once you get a handstand, you can work on your pressed handstand or maybe handstand pushups. So there's so many opportunities and more exercise that you can always do in comparison to weight training, where you're pretty limited with just few workouts.
So you've been training for 10 years.
Yeah.
Actually, what motivates you to keep on training for like 10 years with calisthenics? A lot of people give up.
That's a good question. I think you really have to want it, you know? If you're like, let's say like you're a tennis player and then you want to be the best tennis player in the world, that's probably what motivates them to play tennis, right? So same for me. Like, I'm not trying to be the best in the world, but I have a few skills in mind that I've been working on for years. Those are being full planche. Actually, it's mostly full planche and Stalder press as well. And until I have those goals, until I meet those goals, like, I probably won't give up. I'm just going to keep going. So yeah, that's probably
for the listeners, a full planche, Stalder press, a press. Can you explain it? What happens?
I'll try my best. So for a full planche, imagine you're in a push-up position, but your legs are in the air. So that's pretty much what it is. Yeah, it's definitely possible, but it takes years and years of practice. And man, it's pretty hard to explain the Stalder press. I'll actually change the skill. I'll say one arm chin up, because that's easier to explain. Because that's one of my goals as well. So
I actually see you training on the one arm chin up on your Instagram. You share actually the trainings, the different programs and how you do it. So you actually also share the process.
Yeah, so one arm chin up is pretty straightforward. You just hang in one arm, you pull yourself up, make sure you get your chin over the bar, and then you just come down. And this, I really struggle with this one because I've been struggling with golfer's elbow, or it is also known as the medial epicondylitis, which gets affected from a lot of training the pulling pattern. Mm-hmm. So I haven't been able to work on my one arm chin up in pretty regular basis, but I probably won't stop until I get it as well. So.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what we
can do a race. I'm also training on that skill, so I'll share you some videos once in a while. Yeah, I'm training on it. So and it's actually challenging, and I think it's possible in a couple of months or a year.
Yeah.
So you talked about the planche. That was really a challenge. What was the most challenging thing you achieved? Can also be related to your YouTube channel or training wise. And how much time did it take?
That's a good question. So there are a few things in my mind, but I think one of the hardest things like I ever did physically was biking across United States. So I cycled through California all the way to Washington, D.C. It took me 2 months to go across it. And I was riding like 150 kilometers a day, resting every 10 days or so. So there's barely any rest days.
Why did you do this? Good question. I never hear this.
I mean, when I was on the bike, I was honestly like regretting every day. Oh man, why am I doing this? This is so hard. But
it was a challenge or for fun or like
It was not necessarily for fun, but I always wanted to try something that seemed impossible. And the opportunity came to me actually. I was involved with one of the organizations in my university, and this university offered the college students, college grads, to ride across America, actually every year. And this is to raise money for people with disabilities. So it was for a charity. So I had a good motivation, and I figured when I don't do it during my college year, I can never do this kind of stuff in my life, because when life gets in my way, like let's say for work, you can't take your work off for 2 months, right? But in college, you definitely can. So that's why I decided to do it.
That's a really interesting challenge. You said like you try to raise money for disabled people.
Yep.
Yep. Were you also partly disabled because of cycling every day?
I feel like my butt was almost getting disabled for sitting bound down for so long. Yeah. I was riding with like 28 other guys. It was actually a big group. We had 28 cyclists and 10 staffs that took care of us. Mm-hmm. And every time we tried to sit on a chair, we had to sit like really carefully, or else our butt was gonna hurt a lot.
I think that's one of the reasons you said like you don't train a lot of your legs, actually like squats, etc. when you was in Bali, and maybe this is like from the past when you were cycling a lot. Let's go to another topic. Sure. You actually are an inspiration for a lot of people on YouTube. You got like over 100,000 people following you. On Instagram, you're pretty big. So I think a lot of people aspire what you're doing skill-wise, but also a lot of beginners. I think you get a lot of questions from them. Okay. So for people listening to the podcast, what is the best tip as a beginner to improve? And that helps you in the beginning of your career.
So does it have to relate to calisthenics, or it can be for anything?
Yeah, it can also be sleep. Like if you have like somebody that recently started with calisthenics and you really want to help out, what do you want to share?
So since I'm the calisthenics guy, I'll share some tips for calisthenics. So this is the thing that I wish I knew when I was beginning, as well. So people need to know how to distinguish from testing versus training. I'll delve into that. So let's say you're training for handstand pushup. The max rep you can do is one. And like when you just get the skill, like when you can do a one handstand pushup, you get so excited that's all you do, just one handstand pushup. But if I were to compare this with like powerlifting, that's actually essentially your 1RM or one rep max. But when you're training for powerlifting, you don't do 1RM every single training, right? Maybe like once in a while.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. You get like overwhelmed, your body gets tired. Right?
But with calisthenics, people get like so excited that they get a skill for the first time, that's just all they work on. Just one rep max of planche, like one rep max of handstand pushup or one arm chin up. And it like eventually, like your body is just not going to be able to recover. And then that's the big reason you get into a plateau, and you also get injured pretty easily. So, but when I used to train for planche back in the day, I was just doing max sets every single, I was doing like a max holds every single set. I was just holding for as long as possible. And I was doing that every 2 to 3 days.
Yeah.
So it's, imagine it's too how, much. Imagine how like tiring that would be for your body. But if I were to train weights, it's different because I know that's one rep max. But for when you're doing calisthenics, it feels different because you're just only you're using just your body, but it is still one rep max.
That's an interesting view. I actually have the same when I'm training on front levers. Yeah. I feel like doing every day the same max hold, that doesn't work. Yeah. But I do when I do a lot of accessory work or slightly easier varieties of the front lever, that works pretty good. And I actually make more progress. So I think that's a really useful tip.
I actually don't mean, I don't mean to not go for the failure. Failure is fine. But let's say your best front lever hold is 2 seconds. I'll rather use a regression. So if you're training for full front lever for 2 seconds instead of that, just try to do a longer holds with maybe a straddle front lever or maybe like 8 to 9 seconds. So you can add more volume. But if you just do like 2 second holds, that's just too short.
And for beginners, for example, is there any, like, can you make a good example for that, beginning calisthenics?
Sure, yeah. So let's say you can do one pull-up. Instead of just doing one pull-up, which is going to, if you're just going to do one pull-up, you're probably going to need a lot of recovery time between sets because that's your one rep max. So instead of doing that, I'll rather do like maybe slightly easier, like maybe like banded pull up for like 5 reps or maybe like inverted ring rows for 10 reps, something like that to add more volume.
Yeah. Useful tip, especially for beginners that want to start out with pull ups. I see a lot of people trying to get into that. So yeah.
Yeah.
And any more nuance in the thing you said you want to point out?
That's about it for now. I'll throw more out there if something gets in my mind.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a big thing.
I think that's a really, really interesting point. But are there any other misconceptions in the world of calisthenics that you think people should know?
This is not just for calisthenics, but for like weight training as well. So a lot of people think that a person cannot be flexible and strong at the same time. Like a lot of people think that you have to be either or, like either you have to be like super flexible or like super strong. But I think that's not right. I think you can definitely be both. And that's actually one of my goals as well. That's why I work on a lot of mobility as well, to be like the most flexible and most strong version of myself.
How much time does that take, for example, because you're working on your strength, you want to improve that, so you have a whole training schedule. Can you give us like a quick summary or like how much hours a week do you train? How does your training schedule look like?
Sure. So I train in average maybe about 2 hours a day, 2 to 2.5 maybe. So I train strength for about an hour, and the rest is dedicated to stretching and mobility work and some accessory work that I do. And I do that about 5 to 6 days a week. And some days I train in high intensity, and some other days not as much. So it's not like I'm pushing really hard every day. So I make sure I listen to my body, and yeah.
Okay, and do you have like split, for example, that like on you only hit upper body, or you only hit pulls day one and push movements day two, or do you do full body?
I do split with like push and pull. So on the push day, I nowadays mostly work on my handstand push-ups or shoulder press. Those are my main thing. And the pull day, I work on the one-arm chin-up stuff, and sometimes front lever if I'm bored. But that's not my priority right now, so I don't do a lot of front lever. And I have other days that I work mostly on my mobility. So that could be like working on my front splits, or like some shoulder mobility or whatever I think I needed. So yeah. Those are my main splits. And I, some people might think, oh, like, do I train legs? But I don't do like traditional leg workout, like squats or deadlift. But I do work a lot of my mobility on my legs. So I work on my hip internal rotation, which works my gluteus medius. And I work on my like middle splits that works my adductors. So I can't say that I don't work on legs, but I don't really like, I don't really care about like squats or anything yeah. that, yeah, is popular for legs.
Yeah, but actually, if you look at your body, your posture, your legs are really well developed. Maybe it's partly genetics, but also I think the stretching part also really activates your muscles in your lower body. So yeah, I think it works pretty good. Because you're training a lot, like 2 hours a day, 5-6 days a week. I think I've heard you talked in Bali that you had some injuries. Yeah. How do you cope with that, like with weaknesses or injuries?
Oh man, yeah, that's tough. Especially as a beginner, if you get into injured, it's gonna feel like end of the world. Like if you're gonna feel like you have wasted time and you're gonna lose everything, which I still do feel like that after training for like so many years. But I know there's always other things that you can work on. So let's say if your shoulder is injured and you cannot do any pull-ups, so maybe you can work on your wrist, or maybe you can work on your ankle, or just give some love to other areas that you haven't really worked on, because you cannot work literally everything in your body, because people just don't have time for that unless you're like a professional athlete. And it's also pretty hard to recover from trying to train everything. So pick a priority, but if the injury makes you prevent from training those priorities, set another priority. So I used to have I had a supraspinatus tear last year on my right shoulder, and it took me about 8 months to recover. And over those years, I think my left shoulder has been abused as well. And nowadays, like, I actually feel the same pain that I used to have on my right, now on my left. So I'm a little bit scared. Hopefully it's not torn. So I actually stopped training for anything that gives me pain. So I don't do any handstand push-ups for now. So instead, I'm working on my wrist, like I said, and other areas that haven't really worked on.
Yeah. And for example, if you look at beginners, they feel pain with, like, for example, traditional push-up. Yeah. But they can change it up by doing some triceps work. That would be a good idea, for example, or pull-ups, or maybe even, for example, ring push-ups, because it doesn't hurt. So it's always look for things that work around the pain. Would you advise the people that, for example, they have like a shoulder injury or some painful, and they cannot do a proper push-up, but they can do, for example, a ring push-up that doesn't hurt? Would that be a good idea?
Yeah, I highly encourage it. So I did the same, actually. I had an injury on my lats a few years ago, so I actually could not do any pull-ups, but I could do the straight arm pull, so like a front lever. I was fine with it. So both of the exercises are training for lats, and it's great for back development, but I was still able to train my back by doing other exercises that did not give me pain. If you're like, let's say if you're a beginner and then your wrists hurt from push-ups, maybe use a push-up bar. That's fine.
It keeps you motivated. You see that you still got your strength. You don't lose your muscle mass. So maybe I think that's the important part of getting a coach that can help you with pick out different exercises to keep you motivated. Watch a lot of YouTube videos, for example, your channel. So at the beginning, we talked about mobility and myths that need to be debunked. We talked about breathing, the importance of that. Are there any other misconceptions that are really important in the world of mobility?
Yeah, sure. So the mobility or right amount of, people think, what do you think is the right amount of flexibility? I'm actually asking you. Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I had actually recently an interesting discussion with a trainer, and I talked about this on our podcast. It was in Dutch. Yeah. You need to stay, you need to be able to be stable in a position. For example, you do an overhead press, and for example, you're really flexible, but you are not stable in that position. Yeah, there's not really a point of getting so much flexibility. So I think stability is the most important thing. So gradually increase your mobility, flexibility, and stay active in that position, that you can keep your position, can keep your body parts, your spine. So, and yeah, that's, I think, an important thing with calisthenics and mobility.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And there's a couple of things to add. So mobility, the right amount of flexibility is such an objective term. So first, you need to find out what kind of mobility or what kind of flexibility you need for your own sports. So let's say you're a baseball player, you're a pitcher for baseball. Do people play baseball in Netherlands?
Not a lot. A couple of thousand people, maybe. Yeah,
1,000 people. Okay. Well, anyway, like if you're a pitcher, and you probably need a lot of stability or mobility for shoulders, right? Because you do a lot of throwing action. Probably, especially in the external rotating movement pattern, because you're throwing your fist backwards, and then which is external rotating, and then there's probably some internal rotation after you throw. So you're going to need a lot of stability there. But let's say you're maybe, I don't know, runner. The runner is not going to need as much mobility on the shoulder, but maybe they do need it in the ankle or something like that. So you need to find out what kind of mobility you need for your sports. And I decided I'm training for middle splits and front splits because that's pretty essential and important in calisthenics. Because the more flexible you are, the easier the movement it gets, actually, because you can widen your legs. But maybe, like, Jerome, you as a powerlifter, you probably don't need middle splits. Maybe you want middle splits, but you probably don't need it, right?
So no, I think, but I also think, I think there's no point of, like, really getting, for example, if you want to do a 1 rep max and you want to really improve your deadlifts and you really work on your hamstrings, your adductors, and you really improve it with, like, middle splits. I think it's also, maybe it's less good because you need the functional stiffness for deadlifts.
Right. Yeah. I've heard you need a certain amount of stiffness for powerlifting.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's always choosing what you want to achieve. So if you want to work on the, you cannot have both.
Yeah. So make sure, I just want to say, like, make sure you know the purpose of the training. Like, training without purpose is wasting time. Like, if you don't need middle splits, you should probably not train middle splits. You should probably train something else. Like, if you're doing, whatever that's needed for your sports. But I do think middle split is pretty cool skill to train, though. You can take a really cool photo.
Yeah, that's also maybe a goal. And it's also nice to make a new challenge for yourself. Yeah, I want to work on this for one or 2 years.
Yeah.
So, for example, I want to work on a middle split. Maybe it takes me 1 or 2 years. Yeah. And yeah, my deadlifts are not that important that I don't want to improve like a professional level. So I think it's a cool challenge and it keeps you motivated, keeps you happy. So I think that's a good tip. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, maybe.
Any other misconceptions in the world of mobility?
It's pretty hard to increase strength and flexibility at the same time. So you can try to maintain the other one. So let's say if you're really working to lengthen your hamstrings. You're doing a lot of hamstring stretching. It's hard to strengthen your hamstrings and be flexible at the same time. So if your current goal is to get flexible, work on your flexibility and then just try to maintain your strength. And if your current goal is increasing strength on your hamstrings, you can probably reduce the amount of stretching and then just work on the strength.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to be both at the same time.
Yeah. And what, and would this, like, you mean, for example, a training cycle, or do you mean a training day? Because can you, like, that's different.
Training cycle. Yeah. So because if you do a lot of hamstring training, like if you do a lot of deadlift, your hamstring is going to get like pretty tight, which is going to actually affect your stretching session as well. So I think it's just good to limber around and then just do a stretching session, maybe like once, a pretty intense session once a week. That's probably good enough. But if you try to do more, it's probably going to affect your strength training as well, because you can also get tired and you also get sore from stretching as well. So that's why if you try to increase the amount of flexibility and the amount of strength at the same time, it's very hard.
Yeah. A lot of people, they ask us, it's quite related to this topic, if they should work on their flexibility before the training or after the training, if you have like a short amount of time because you have a busy schedule, what would you recommend them?
This also depends on what kind of movements are training. So maybe if let's say you're with tight shoulder and you're trying to do a handstand, it's probably a good idea to stretch your shoulders prior to handstand so you can gain a little bit more range of motion. Like for me, I can actually do a proper form handstand without any warm up because my shoulder, because I've been working on my shoulder flexibility. So in my case, I don't need to stretch my shoulders, but I do need to stretch my wrists a little bit just to prepare the load because my wrists tend to be pretty tight. So it depends on your weakness. So it's not always bad to stretch prior to the workout if you have a purpose.
Yeah, it needs to be functional.
Yeah.
So you've been training in Bali, and actually a lot of like influencers, good trainers, coaches, they all pass by. What are people that inspired you and why?
There's numerous people, but in calisthenics world, I could think of two people. So one is Daniel Vano from Fitness FAQs. I'm sure you've heard of him as well.
Yeah,
and
for sure. For
another one is Cy Munster or Simon Adda. Do you know him?
Yeah, yeah. It's great skills. It's like if you look at his Instagram, it's amazing.
Yeah, crazy skills. And crazy b-boy too. And I used to be a b-boy as well, or a breakdancer. So we had a couple of things in common. But the reason not why they inspired me, because it's very hard to find their weakness. Like they're like one of the most well-rounded athletes in calisthenics world. Like they work on everything. Like they make sure they train their legs. They make sure they're strong in the upper body. And even if they do find their weaknesses, they're always inspired and they are always ready to tackle their weaknesses. So that's why I've been very inspired by them. And they also have very successful social media as well, which is a part of another reason why I look up to them. Hmm. And it was actually, I got to meet him in Bali as well, Bali and Singapore. And it was actually, I felt like I was meeting a celebrity or an idol. I never really cared about celebrities, but when I meet him, it felt like meeting a celebrity. I was pretty excited.
Yeah, I actually saw the Fitness FAQ channel. Daniel did an interview with you, so it must be I saw it. It was must be an amazing moment for you.
It was, yeah.
Those guys, we put the videos and the Instagram in the show notes for listeners. They can check out how the skills and the YouTube channels look like, and also with your channel. So it's good. people that you can aspire to. So you have your own YouTube channel. Now it's the at current we're recording. It's still COVID situation. I'm recording from Holland. You're recording from South Korea. So I think you cannot do everything what you want, training in gyms, maybe not, or yes. What are you currently working on and what's the next step?
Business-wise, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm working on a lot of things. So I currently teamed up with Samsung, the Samsung Electronics. So I'm making a few videos for them. And it's they put up on their own smart TVs. And they actually gave me a channel, like a TV channel. So for 24 hours, you can see me in that channel all day.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, I'm broadcasted. So, yeah, it's very
How
cool.
How is that?
But you can only watch it in Samsung TVs, but the Samsung smart TVs, actually, that you have to be connected with internet.
Okay.
But the funny thing is, like, I don't have a Samsung smart TV, so I haven't been able to watch myself in a TV yet.
Okay.
But I've been doing this for 3 months, but still haven't watched it.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny.
And
yeah.
Is it distributed international?
Not yet, just Korea. But hopefully it's distributed worldwide eventually. But yeah, I'm teaching in Korean for now.
Cool. And what's the goal for the coming years? What do you want to achieve? The one arm chin up training wise, but like business wise with your YouTube channel, your Instagram.
Yeah, I'm doing a couple other things. Like I've teamed up with equipment distributor called BaseBlocks. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so BaseBlocks makes calisthenics equipment. So I started to provide some paid content for their upcoming app. So that's going to be in public in 1 or 2 months, actually. So, and I also teamed up with Lululemon, the clothing store. So, and I'll be teaching a few classes a week. And actually one class a week starting in July, actually, which I'm pretty excited because I haven't been able to teach any class this year, actually. So pretty excited to go back to teaching.
Yeah. And why is that? Does it give you energy or it really you want to share knowledge?
Yeah, I like sharing knowledge, but I feel like when I'm teaching, I actually become a different person. Like if you meet me in person, like I'm generally like, I don't have a high energy. Like I'm just, I'm not saying I have a low energy, but like I get super high energy when I'm teaching, which I don't have when I'm like living day to day life. But I'm thinking it's pretty hard to live a high energy life all day. So I think it's good to have high energy during classes and save or conserve energy in the other days.
Yeah, I wouldn't say low energy or high, but I would point you out as a calm, as somebody that's calm.
And yeah, that's probably a better word.
That's a compliment. Because I think it's also inspiring a lot of people who jump around and hop around. Like I would point myself as like maybe a little bit more in high energy, but yeah. I think the calmness also really helps you with training and focusing. So
yeah,
I think, yeah. So we met actually in Bali. I've been training at Nirvana for the listeners. We also put that in the show notes. It's an amazing gym. You should check out the Instagram. It's into calisthenics, weightlifting, mobility, improving as an athlete. So you've been training there. You were a trainer there, working as a trainer. How's that? Living in like a totally different country, being a trainer there. I think a lot of people aspire that. How did you experience that?
Man, like I lived in several different countries. I lived in the United States, lived in New Zealand, Korea, but probably the Bali is one of the most memorable places I ever lived. Partly because I've never lived in a touristy place. So it's actually pretty cool to meet a lot of people that just comes and goes. And the reason that the biggest reason I like Bali is because of like food is one of the big reasons. You can have very good quality food for a pretty cheap price. So So I could eat meat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, which I cannot do in Korea. Meat can get pretty expensive. And I also like the community of people, especially in Nirvana, because if I'm there, like you see new people every day, and they're like coming from all over the world, having a different backgrounds. Like I see a Olympic athlete one day, and sometime like I mean I see you, a powerlifter, and yeah, I just meet all kinds of people, and then just learn. We share knowledge about what we know, which is pretty hard to do back at home. It's just hard to meet new people every day here.
So I think that's a good thing. Like people are busy working, focusing on their life, day to day. And in Bali, a lot of people also pass by. But I think it's a really interesting place, especially because it also attracts, for example, that's the good thing about Nirvana. It attracts people that really want to achieve new skills or a new lifestyle. And also a lot of experienced trainers. So I think it's a good hub for this kind of knowledge. We always finish up our podcast. You already gave a lot of useful tips for listeners that want to start out with training, calisthenics. We finish up our podcast with one single tip you can give for our listeners. Can be training-wise, nutrition-wise, health-wise, life-wise. What is the single tip you want to give?
So I'll give out a training tip. So I want to say, don't try to be the person that just do one thing. So this happens a lot in calisthenics. Like people say, oh, you can only do calisthenics, and if you lift weights, like you're cheating, or that's not calisthenics life, etc. But that's totally nonsense. I think you first have to do what you enjoy the most. So if you like calisthenics, it's fine to only train calisthenics, but try to find something that is outside of your comfort zone, and try to find something that will help you develop the skills you want. So if, that's why I implement a little bit of weight training as well. Although I don't like it, I don't enjoy it that much, but I know it's going to help with my calisthenics in some aspect. So that's why I try to incorporate both. But a lot of people think that they only have to do a body weight or calisthenics, or they only have to do weight training. They can never be a both. But I think you can be a both if you divide it and pretty smart.
Yeah, people tend to think in groups. Same with, for example, CrossFit. They think, I don't know about the whole bodybuilding scene. It's always like group thinking. Yeah, I think you can learn a lot from calisthenics. You can learn, I think when you're a calisthenics athlete, you can learn a lot from a CrossFit athlete, movement-wise, but also from powerlifting. So pick up all the lessons, and it makes you a better athlete. So I think that's an amazing tip.
I'm actually getting slightly into, does overhead press count as powerlifting or no?
It's not a typical movement on the competition. It's not a competition movement, but it's really important for your bench press to work on your shoulders. So a lot of powerlifters as an accessory movement, they work on overhead press,
Okay, the reason I asked was since I do a lot of handstand push-up, I started to get interested in training for overhead press as well. Because I'm just curious like how much overhead press I can do. So maybe that will be my next goal. Try to get a pretty decent number in overhead press. And maybe you can help with me with that.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a big transition, actually, if you look at the movement pattern. It's kind of similar. And if you improve on your overhead press, I think it also translates into your handstand push-ups.
Yeah, possibly. So, yeah, I'm always open to train new movements, and I'm always open to experiment. So maybe in my next training cycle, I'll maybe just do an overhead press and see how it translates into handstand push-ups.
Yeah, I think that's a good like training lesson to sum up, to finish up.
Yeah.
For people, where can they follow you on your Instagram, your YouTube channel? How can they contact you? Do you have a website?
Yes. You can find me by searching for Dan Jeong. It's D-A-N and J-E-O-N-G. I do have a website. It's danjeong.com. Everything is Dan Jeong. So you can find me on Instagram, YouTube, and just started TikTok. I don't know if I'll continue, but I have TikTok as well.
You need to focus, right? Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, thanks a lot for attending, for sharing your knowledge, and hopefully see you soon again in Bali.
No problem, or maybe in Netherlands, or maybe in Korea.
This was the podcast episode with Dan Jeong. If you want to have more information about the topics we discussed and his YouTube channel and his Instagram, check out the show notes for the links. And we are really curious what you learned from this episode. Tag us on social media, fit.nl and Dan Jeong. And thanks for listening.